ESPN dropped their list of the best 100 athletes of this century, and dare I say, I think they got it right.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. It's Theo Dorsey right here with you on a Thursday on Theoretically Speaking. C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. Pop us up on YouTube at Theo Speaking and stream us live or on Twitter. Just hop on that thing, X, whatever you want to call it, at ESPN West Palm. We stream live there as well. Now, you can tell it's the middle of summer because you see all of the different, you know, pontifications about wide receivers who Devontae Adams didn't ask out, but people are pondering over if he's going to reunite with Aaron Rodgers with the New York Jets. You can also tell it's the dog days of summer here in sports talk world because this is the perfect time when there aren't major sporting events going on or games to react to last night. Though, by the way, Caitlin Clark absolutely sealed the deal with that 19-assist performance. I mean, I already knew I was going to have a bad show today based on the fact that this morning I was at this event at St. Aloysius High School and I was meeting a bunch of people and I screwed up like 5, 6, 7 handshakes in a row. Like absolutely bombed on some daps. And C-Cat, I've told you this before and you witnessed it personally when we first met. That is the perfect way to just end everything I got going on for the rest of my day. I can't get it out of my head.
A bad dap really sets you behind the eight ball.
Yeah. Like what I don't know what it is about that. I love to redo them if we do it incorrectly, but sadly, I'm starting to think I'm the problem because just over and over again, I was screwing it up. It was either too loose, too tight. One time, I dapped up this guy that was, you know, I thought he would want the, you know, the corporate dap. So I went straight up with him, handshake, hello, my good sir. And he went for the full dap and hug. And I did that in front of a brother, right? So then I turned to my guy right here and I'm like, well, I guess I'm gonna do this with you too. And he went corporate on me and I went for the dap. And it just was a lot of, like, the chemistry was all the way off today. So I know I'm going to be talking in circles. I know that there's going to be a lot of erratic behavior out of me, C-Cat. So just bear with me. You help me out. And again, just next time you do dap somebody up, think about them. Think about what it could be doing to them. Because for me, it derailed me. And I'm sorry for all of those at Santa Lucia's High School this morning that had to deal with that, C-Cat.
Fortunately, today's topic, it's on a tee for us. It's right in the wheelhouse.
So if you haven't seen it already, it's on ESPN.com. They ranked the top 100 professional athletes of this century. So starting in the year 2000, going through this year, technically, I know it's 2024, but we are now 25 years into this century, I guess you would call it. Yes, yeah, century. And last time they did this, Michael Jordan won. For the past century, Michael Jordan was atop the list. There was a lot of outrage because Secretariat, a horse, was somewhere in the middle of that list. Michael Jordan was also ranked above Babe Ruth, which some people are mad at. But, I mean, he's MJ. Everybody wants to be like Mike. Recency bias as well. I get it. This year's list hasn't drawn the same level of ire. It hasn't drawn the same level of consternation. But there is something in the top five that have had a couple people bubble up with concern, with an issue. And it involves LeBron James and Tom Brady. So I'll just read off the top 10 right quick so we all know what we're dealing with here. Number one on the list is Michael Phelps, considered the greatest Olympian of all time. 28 total medals, 23 gold medals. I have my thoughts on this. I won't deliver them yet. I might wait until we get into the Paris season and we start seeing some folks hit the water actively, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But Michael Phelps, the number one athlete of all time, followed by Serena Williams, Palm Beach County resident. Number three, Lionel Messi, South Florida takeover here, Inter Miami. Big shout to the GOAT, Lionel Messi. And then we get to 4 and 5. LeBron James at number 4 above Tom Brady, who many people consider the greatest football player ever. And this is where plenty of people have an issue. Now for you, C-Cat, hearing just that top five, Brady under LeBron James, Does that make any of the hairs on your arm stick up? Are you concerned at all? Do you think that this is outrageous, egregious for them to rake it that way?
I don't think so. I think if you're just doing the greatest athletes of all time, we're not talking about the greatest winners. We're not talking about the most successful athletes, just the greatest athletes of all time. I think it's fair to give LeBron the nod over Brady.
So when you look at it resume-wise, and if you're just looking at what they accomplished in their career when it comes to championships, obviously Brady has the nod with 7 titles over LeBron's 4. But here comes the problem when you're going Brady versus LeBron. There seems to be a disconnect for those of you all who feel like Brady should be ranked above LeBron James here. There seems to be a disconnect with actually attributing what the greatness of this athlete was, especially when you think about the individual greatness of LeBron James and how long he sustained it. Tom Brady, as great as he was as a football player and as much winning as he did, though it didn't come without scandal, multiple cheating scandals actually, he was always tied to the greatest organization while he was in the NFL. He was always married to Bill Belichick, who was considered the greatest coach of all time in football, and in somewhat of a perfect incubator, a perfect environment for him to spit out what is the greatest career, the greatest resume we've seen a football player come out with. LeBron James did this thing while being drafted to the Cleveland Cavaliers in 03. Like, LeBron James did this by winning and bringing a championship to 3 different organizations, the Cavaliers, the Miami Heat, and then the Los Angeles Lakers. And to top it off, he might just end up getting his podcast buddy and his son a ring too on the way out the door. Who knows? I don't know what are in the Lakers' plans right now. But when I think about individual greatness and I think about the way a person impacts winning and team success, LeBron James, out of all of the team sports right now, LeBron James should be the highest ranking athlete over the past 25 years above Tom Brady. And dare I say, I wouldn't go this far because we're in South Florida, but Lionel Messi, I'm looking at you next to LeBron. I think we don't give enough credit to what LeBron James is, has been, and will continue to be to the game of basketball in the NBA, because there is such a polarizing part of this guy because we've seen him on the big stage for so long. But it's been about him since he was in high school. For Brady, even those first couple of Super Bowls, it was less about him and more about what they were doing. It's been all about this guy, the spotlight, the hate, also the glory, all centered on this dude's shoulders, and for him to do it for this long. 20-time All-Star, 19-time first-team All-NBA player, a guy that also is the all-time leading scorer in the NBA. And if you just look at the stat list, the top 10 in most statistical categories that matter in NBA history, playoff or regular season, LeBron James, LeBron James, LeBron, like everywhere you look, the dude literally dominated his sport and is still doing it at that level. So having him at 4 above Brady at 5 is clear and cut to me. It shouldn't be that much of a debate. And we were talking about this earlier, C-Cat. I mean, we're talking about greatest athlete, right? You put LeBron James and Tom Brady through like a decathlon. I mean, you put them through all of the Olympic sports that we compete in and that we're going to see in Paris. Maybe even just the major American sports that we have here. Most of those situations, I'm leaning LeBron James.
If you put LeBron James on a football field, he's the better football player in 10 out of 11 offensive positions. Ooh. He's a better lineman. He's a better receiver, better running back, better fullback. He's better at all that stuff than Tom Brady. Hold on. That's not the argument, but I still want to point that out.
But, hey, you don't think Brady could be a slot guy?
Better than LeBron. not better than LeBron.
You don't think Brady can you know, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman his way into a good slot season? You put him, give Brady a full training camp.
We've seen those late season, we've seen his prime days where he would scramble out of the pocket and try to spike my guy Ed Reed in the second level.
Yeah.
No.
Not a chance. Not a chance at all. LeBron James being a clear-cut better athlete. And even, dare I say, I would rather have the career of LeBron James than Tom Brady.
Ooh, that's where we defer, my friend.
Oh, yeah, and you could pick Brady's side on that. But again, when it comes to LeBron James, his career, I mean, there's no cheating scandals. There's no rumors of PEDs. There's no deflating footballs. There's no spying on other people's practice. This guy did it the right way the whole way through. Did he change teams a couple of times and piss some fan bases off? Sure. Right? Did LeBron James get his son drafted and has everybody up in arms for some reason because there's a mob of anti-Bronny fans out there for some... it is the weirdest thing to me. Maybe. He got his podcast buddy hired. Sure, sue the guy. But LeBron didn't get caught cheating, and I think that that has to be weighed into it. I'm just a guy of more integrity than you, CCAD. You can roll with the guy that got caught so often, but, I mean, I'm just not that kind of dude.
If we just boil this down to just basic social economics, right?
Yeah.
Or I don't know if I use that correctly, but go back to high school, right? You want to be the quarterback on the winning team. You want to be the superstar quarterback that everybody looks to, like that guardian on the gridiron. That is the prime time position to be in all of sports. And Brady had that. He had the rings to show for it.
Well, LeBron's still married. You know, he still was able to keep both. I'm not criticizing Brady for that. I don't know what happened in his household. But you're saying you want to be that guy, but that guy's wife didn't want to be with him. What would you pick? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. We've established LeBron James a better athlete than Tom Brady, but whose career would you rather have had? Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline or drop a comment on the YouTube stream at Theo Speaking. And the Baptist Health Hotline again, 888-760-3776. That's the number to call into the show. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Whose career would you rather have between Tom Brady and LeBron James, as we have the list, the great list that we'll be using to as a prism as how we view sports over the next 75 years of this century, the greatest 100 athletes of this century so far. And LeBron topped out Brady at number 4, Brady at 5, Bron at number 4, actually. And I started thinking about this as we called for the callers there, CCAT. Tom Brady also, if you think about some of those early Super Bowl wins, if you replace Brady with a replacement level, right, like an average quarterback in the NFL, I think some of those Patriots Super Bowls still happen. There's not one championship where you can take LeBron out at small forward and plug in, say, like, who's an average small forward in the league? Like, a Gerald Green, you know, like a guy that's not an all-star, but he's a good starter. None of those teams might even make it to the finals.
Yeah, like, when talking about a slice of the credit pie, if you would, for every single championship, there's no doubt about it that every single championship LeBron won, he had a higher percentage of reason why they won the championship than Brady did, just because of the genius that was Bill Belichick and kind of the businessman that was Robert Kraft. You're right about that.
And also with Bron versus Brady, I think about how, like, LeBron oftentimes was the smartest man in the room, in the organization, in the locker room, right? Like, even early in his career. But also, you think about, like, last year with Darvin Ham. Who did it really feel like the Lakers were being ran by when it came between the head coach, who LeBron undermined and got fired again, or LeBron James, right? Like, between Ham and LeBron, it felt like he was more the culture setter, the person that set the stage, that guided his team, that had the direction, whereas Brady did benefit a lot from Bill Belichick being the guy to set the standard, to set the Patriot way, which Brady benefited from. I'm not taking away from his greatness with that, but when we're talking about greatest athletes of all time, greatest athletes of this century, it's clear why LeBron James would get the nod over the dude. And he's still playing. Like, he's actually still doing it. Not like Tom Brady, who's just flirting with the idea of coming back. Who out of LeBron James or Tom Brady would you rather have the career of, and which one is the greatest athlete when you consider what they've done in this century, LeBron James or Tom Brady? 888-760-3776. That's the number to tap into, theoretically speaking. And we have Jack in Okeechobee. Jackson Okeechobee is on Theoretically Speaking on a Thursday. Brady or Bron, Jack? Which way are you going?
Brady. I don't like Tom Brady. I've been on the losing end of a lot of games that he's in. 7 Super Bowls. 7.
Yes. 7 Super Bowls, but I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's a team sport. I'm not saying who had the most success. I'm asking you who is the greater athlete. And LeBron, I mean, Adam Vinatieri won like 3 of them things for him.
How's LeBron's a better athlete? I heard you talking about different positions in the NFL that he can play. I don't think he can play football, just like I don't believe Tom Brady can play basketball.
True.
Because he's a big dude. He's going to be a running back or a receiver in the NFL. How many MVPs does Tom Brady have? Look, I'm not a Tom Brady fan.
Tom Brady only has
a Dolphins fan.
I believe Tom Brady only has 3 MVPs. He was only first team all pro twice in his career. A lot of these big stat years that Brady had, he was outmatched by other quarterbacks, whereas LeBron had more individual greatness. So though I appreciate where you're going right there with Tom Brady, I still feel, and I appreciate the call there, Jack, I still feel like when it comes to LeBron James, we talked about the credit pie, how much he contributed to the winning of it all. And on the field of play, with him being both a basketball genius and usually the best athlete on the court, he did. He did impact it more. He did move the needle more for his teams. And Tom Brady benefited a lot from an ecosystem that had the greatest coach of all time, that also had maybe the greatest kicker of all time in Adam Vinatieri, Matthew Slater, maybe the greatest specialist of all time, surrounded by that great defense. Like, I mean, he did his thing. He held up the water, but I mean, he didn't carry the load that LeBron James has continued to do for all of these years. 4 finals MVPs, 4 MVPs, 4 championships, 20 all-star appearances. I mean, the dude is different. LeBron James. Now, we got Cade in West Palm Beach tapping in on Theoretically Speaking. Cade, you going Brady here or you going Bron? Whose career would you have rather had and who was the greater athlete in this century?
Well, so I first find it interesting that you're asking a different question.
Oh, this is Cade. This is Cade Chumsland. This is our Cade. What up, Cade?
What up, Theo? Yeah, it's me.
Okay, what up? Now, what's your problem here? Address your concerns first, and then we'll get your answer.
Okay, so I just find it interesting how we started with who's the better athlete, and now we're asking whose career you want, because I think they're two separate debates.
Definitely.
I would rather have Brady's career because it's more championships. Solely that. But I do agree with you that LeBron should be higher on the list that we are referring to because I think he's the better athlete.
Guaranteed.
My biggest concern in all of this, Theo, is this extra comment that you decided to tag on your monologue that said that you could replace Brady with an average quarterback and the Patriots would still win some of those championships.
Yeah.
And if LeBron weren't on some of those other teams, they wouldn't.
It's
whatever
true.
You said.
Yeah. Replacement level player on both sides.
Yeah. Alex Smith.
Yeah. 100%.
Theo, you know so well that an average quarterback on those Patriots teams was not leading them to a Super Bowl. When is the last time an average quarterback won a Super Bowl after leading his team from start to finish? You can't say Nick Foles.
Joe Flacco.
I was just about to say, we mentioned him yesterday on the show, and that's Joe Flacco. Plus, I mean, a lot of people, if you go back and look at those first couple of Super Bowls that Brady won, I mean, an average quarterback was kind of like the stat line he was putting up. So it's not even a stretch to say that. I do appreciate the call, though, Kate. That's a good point. It was a good point by him. We're making 2 different debates, but that's why I asked the question in 2 ways. I still would pick LeBron in both instances because, again, also, like, looked like LeBron had way more fun. His career looked like a way more joyous ride. I would have hated being out there in Foxborough and all of those snowy games and dealing with Belichick and having to be all crude and sit up in front of the mic and not giving any answers. Like, LeBron be kicking it, maybe having all those handshakes with his boys. He got his son on his squad now. Like, he's kicking it. He's living a good life. I would much rather have LeBron James's career. And his greatness does outperform what we saw from Tom Brady. When we want some good football takes, there's no greatness better than Mike Tannenbaum. We have him on the other side because I got to figure out what's happening with this Brandon Ayuk situation. Will he get traded? Do the 49ers even want to deal him? And also, what would it cost? That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
It's not every day you get to talk to a man who has sat in the big chair as a general manager of a National Football League team. It's also not every day that you get to ask him a question about what the hell is going on with the wide receiver market in the NFL. Ayuk, Davante Adams, what are these guys getting traded? Do they want to be traded? Do the team still want them? I'm all kind of twisted up and confused, and that's why we bring in our guy who joins us weekly here on Theoretically Speaking, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN Insider, and our friend on the show, Mike T. How's the week been going so far for you?
Doing great, my man. Theo, how are you?
I am doing well. A quick update for you. I know I give you grill updates here and there on my Traeger. When I last tried some smoked chicken, it was fire. And I am going to soon elevate to the brisket. But first, I'm going to give a retry on those ribs. I got some tips from my pops on my wife's side. And I think I have the tools now to start doing some good ribs. So everything's good on that end for me.
I thought you were going to do a little broadcasting and barbecuing. I thought we were going to go B&B.
I know.
Isn't that where we're going?
That's still on the way. That's still in the works. But first, I have to get my recipes down. I can't, you know, I can't put out bad product. Then people won't keep coming back. So, Mike T, speaking of coming back, it sounds like Brandon Ayuk doesn't want to come back to the 49ers. I know they're supposed to report to camp in about a week. He officially requested a trade. It does feel like one of these stalemates. He couldn't get the contract with the Niners, but now he's trying to test his market out openly. If you're John Lynch in the 49ers, what would it take for somebody to offer you to actually give up Ayuk ahead of a season where you likely can be a Super Bowl contender if everything rolls right in the NFC?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think he's a really good player, and I think they've done a great job of drafting Ricky Pearsall in the first round, Jacob Cowing in the fourth round. Obviously, they got Deebo Samuel. So I think they're well positioned for the future. And I would say to Ayuk, like, look, we have a chance to win it all. You're a big part of what we're doing. We've extended a lot of other guys, and we need you to be patient, but you're going to be here for, you know, at least this season.
Right. And you say you like Ayuk. I think he's one of the more underrated wide receivers in the NFL. I'm just going to go based on APY here, based on highest APY, I'm going to name a receiver, and you stop me when you think Ayuk should be slotted above this guy. So number one right now in the NFL is Justin Jefferson, $35 million
a year. How many
shoes on? Okay, number two would be A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's at $32 million a year. Would you take Ayuk over a guy like A.J. Brown?
I would take Ayuk because I think what he can do is score touchdowns, and he's more valuable. So, look, I love A.J. Brown and his physicality, but I would rather have Brandon Ayuk. And I think someone will pay him if it's not the 49ers. So to me, I could see why he wants to get paid. But again, I would just ask him to wait one more year.
Right. One of the elite separators, Ayuk. And if he does wait one more year, he'll be scheduled to make just $14 million this year outside of what he could make on the open market, 30 plus per year. Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Theoretically Speaking, talking about receivers on the market. And I'd love to ask you this. Your former team, the New York Jets, there's a lot of rumors about Devontae Adams going from the Raiders to reunite with Aaron Rodgers. Is there any fire to all of the smoke that we're seeing around that?
No, I think what I could see happening is the Raiders being very aggressive to get a quarterback at some point, but I just don't think, given all that they gave up for Devontae Adams just a couple of years ago, Theo, that they would go ahead and do that. So I think there's a lot of smoke this time of year, but I'd be surprised if that actually happened.
Right. I kind of credit that to the time of year we're in where there's not a lot of headlines. People are drumming up things off of things they hear on podcast, and sometimes we get a little too far over our skis there. Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on a Thursday on Theoretically Speaking, talking some ball. Also, you've probably been watching. We both talked about our shared love for what HBO Hard Knocks is doing with the offseason edition with the New York Giants. Are you caught up on that? Have you watched the three episodes there?
Yes, sir.
So I've seen a lot of people criticizing Joe Shane, and I really don't understand it. I don't get it. He seemed like he has been doing very well, very competent. I actually have grown an appreciation for what the Giants and their front office is doing. You watching that from the outside in, how real is all of that? And also, how well do you think Joe Shane has been handling, or did handle, because we're watching it in retrospect, handling what the Giants had to do this offseason?
Yeah, you know, for those people that want to work in the front office, I think NFL Films have done a very good job of, like, capturing, like, those first 48 hours of free agency and how, you know, chaotic it is. I thought it was really well produced. Look, I think Joe Shane's been in a really difficult position. And I think the missteps or mistakes were things that happened, you know, when the cameras weren't there, or certainly like in Saquon's case, maybe a year earlier. But those are very, very difficult conversations to have. And nobody typically would want to have those, you know, so as publicly as they've been.
Right. I mean, did you ever have a situation with your owner at the Jets where it's a player he really wanted to keep, but you know it would have been better for the future of that franchise to get rid of them or not pay them the money that they wanted?
Oh, it's gut-wrenching. It happens all the time. I mean, you know, in a salary cap system, you just can't pay everybody. So it's really, really hard. I think the mistake, and I've said this repeatedly, was not where they are now, but how they could not – they should have signed Saquon Barkley earlier and then, you know, go year by year on Daniel Jones. So to me, that was the mistake, and how it's played out so publicly, obviously is not ideal for their franchise because you have a great player and a great teammate like Saquon.
Right, right. And I'll leave off on this one because this headline intrigued me here. The Houston Texans are the darling of everybody's early AFC picks. They're the darling of the NFL right now, mainly because of their quarterback, C.J. Stroud. He nicknamed his skill position players and 11 personnel the five-headed monster, looking at Dalton Schultz at tight end, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and then in the backfield, Joe Mixon. That's a really good supporting cast for C.J. Stroud. Is there any other one in the NFL you would take over what the Texans have surrounded C.J. Stroud with, considering like the Bears, the 49ers, of course, if they keep Ayuk, and I even have the Eagles up there now that they've added Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, you know, I think if Xavier Worthy turns out to be, you know, the player that he certainly can be, that's another one, just because it's always going to be Kansas City. But look, that they have a tremendous group of skilled players, and they're certainly in the conversation for, you know, one of the most dangerous teams this season.
Gotta love that. Looking forward to what the Texans bring, and also looking forward to those C.J. Stroud, Jordan Love debates, which I'm sure are going to heat up as we get through the season there. Is there any development, any new development on your love trail for Jordan Love?
No, he's still right there until proven otherwise. I'll take young, high character, dependable, productive, and healthy. So that's what's important to me. So nothing new on that front.
Gotta love it. Rocking with it. Mike T, appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday and your weekend, Doc.
All right. Thanks so much. Look, again, the barbecue update next week, Theo.
Come on with it. I'm going to get them ribs right. Appreciate you, Mike. That's Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on Theoretically Speaking, always brought to you by Eisner Amper. And for Mike right there, I do feel like for Joe Shane, he's been catching a lot of flack on Twitter based on the way he's been handling a lot of these things. But it's fair to at least say this. You go out and you bring in Brian Burns. You cut ties with a guy like Saquon Barkley, who has been the face of your team for the past couple of years. And it's hard to do. It's hard to get the fan base adjusted to that. Outside of those two moves right there, which were big hefty pulls, it doesn't feel like there's much he could do in that situation. Like, they got themselves into the Daniel Jones contract situation. They're likely getting out of it next year, and I am intrigued to see where the Giants go with it. Either way, I do think that he's getting an uneven amount of hate right now on Twitter. Like, have you been watching this stuff with the Giants so far?
You know, I haven't watched much of it, but I've seen more of the reaction to it. I haven't seen as much hate. I see Giants fans loving their new boss, Shane. Like, loving that it's all about business and that the soft aspect of, well, Saquon's so popular, the fans love him. Mm. No. It doesn't make business sense. It doesn't convert to wins, so we're not going to sign him. I saw fans of the Giants loving that.
Wow. We must be on two different I've seen so many people attacking his ability to have these conversations. Somebody's talking about how he couldn't make eye contact with people in the room when he's low confidence or something. And
during
I'm
the party, pal. That's me.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, yeah, that's another thing, too. There's other reasons why sometimes people don't make a lot of eye contact. But, yeah, I like what Joe Shane's doing. I love the Hard Knocks series, and I can't wait for this to keep on happening every single summer. I've never been a big Hard Knocks guy until literally this offseason. We have Tina pulling up for a Thirsty Thursday on the other side. We're talking about, I mean, this is a good one. The scam calls that almost got you. I almost actually got hooked the other day on one, and I'll reveal that to you all. Plus, C-Cat, I do have an update for you. You asked me a few weeks back about my cereal style, how I get down in the morning with the breakfast cereal, and I do have an update for you on that. I have evolved as a person. I found a new strategy that works perfectly in my household, and I do feel like I'm right. So I'll give you that as well. But before we get to the break, I do have to tell you about Palm Beach County's premier college football event. It's back, baby. You ain't got to keep waiting too much longer. December 18th, you don't want to miss the 2024 Boca Raton Bowl from FAU Stadium on a Wednesday night. You know it's going to be broadcast live on ESPN. Now, last year's game, we saw in-state rising power USF take out Syracuse of the ACC. By the way, ACC football, I'll be out there next week for their ACC kickoff, the ACC media days, if you will. What will this year's game have in store? Big names, big teams, most likely big action. The 2024 Boca Raton Bowl, December 18th from FAU Stadium on ESPN. Don't miss out. And to find out more, go to BocaRatonBowl.com. Ain't no party like a Tina on a Thursday party, because a Tina on a Thursday party don't stop, well, until we run into Freddie and Harry. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. It's ESPN's 106.3's Theoretically Speaking.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
That's a little Tops drop for you. That's some Houston flavor in your ear. On a Thursday, on a thirsty Thursday, baby. Theoretically Speaking, we kicking it. Had some fun. Much thanks to Mike Tannenbaum for joining us, talking a little wide receiver action, talking some grilling. We got C-Cat back over there kicking in, and we're joined by Tina back in the crib. What up with it?
What's up? Happy Thursday. Thirsty Thursday. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm going to happy hour after this.
And that's what you got to do on a Thirsty Thursday.
You have to.
Sadly, I won't be. I'm still doing my 75 medium, which will be altered, by the way. It will change.
What's that again?
My 75. You know, 75 hard. We're doing 75 medium. It's like a challenge where you do a certain diet. You read a certain amount every day. No alcohol. No meth.
Workout.
Yeah.
It's hard.
You just suck to be around? Is 75 days of subjecting us to that?
75 days of just being just miserable and spreading that onto everybody else. But it's for growth.
I've heard it. Afterwards, you do feel great and you see results.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just discipline and you accomplish something.
Yeah.
For 75 days, like, that's difficult.
It's what I'm doing. It's what I'm taking on. You know, like, I've been blessed. I've been looking at actually and inspired by this ranking of the top 100 professional athletes. And I'm like, how will I ever be like Usain Bolt if I don't, you know, get my six pack back, right? Like, get back into shape.
2050 comes around, you want to be on that list?
I want to be. That is my new goal. I wonder what sport I would have to get into today to where 25 years from now, I would even be considered for this. And there's got to be something, right? Like, I mean, how hard is it to play cricket?
Oh, were you reading my mind? I was thinking
cricket, right?
I was thinking cricket, yes.
I'll do cricket.
Cricket's hard.
How do you know cricket is hard? Have you played cricket?
Pretty much baseball, but no gloves. So, yeah, it's pretty hard. I think darts is the angle here. I think you just sit down for a couple months and learn to be the greatest dart thrower of all time.
So how good at darts do I have to be? Like, how many dart championships could I get to, like, knock somebody off this list? Because when I look at the top 100 right here, I mean, Giannis is 42. I don't think I'm getting that good at darts. Alex Ovechkin is 54.
I think we need to change sports. Yeah, I don't think darts is going to get you on that list.
Let's
or
see.
Cricket.
Okay, Mookie Betts is 73 on this list. I can become better at darts than Mookie Betts is at baseball.
Yeah, but you wouldn't get the respect.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it has to be a different sport.
I mean, come on. Bryce Harper, 79. Cheryl Swoops. I mean,
who's number one?
Number one is Michael Phelps.
Wow.
Yeah. Michael Phelps is number one on the greatest athletes of the 21st century so far.
Wow.
Does that surprise you?
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, we were talking about actually before the show, we were talking about the 2008 Olympics and how that was just like, for me, that's the most memorable Olympics, like the greatest one, the one I had the most time to watch, because I actually had got my wisdom teeth removed beforehand. So I was stuck on the couch. Mm. I had like gauze. I was bleeding. I had these ice packs on my mouth because it hurt like hell. But for like two straight weeks, I just watched the Americans put on the greatest show ever between Michael Phelps. And then the Redeem Team.
Yes.
On the basketball court with Team USA.
Shawn
Johnson and gymnastics.
I love her.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Usain Bolt, who for some reason when we were talking about this, I just looped him in with the Americans. But, I mean, He's a major global athlete. He's number nine on this list, by the way.
Oh, well, that doesn't surprise me.
So, yeah, I credited Usain Bolt to that, but it was a great Olympics. Had a lot of fun.
I was very young, so I don't remember it a lot, but I love Shawn Johnson, so.
Come on. Shawn Johnson.
She's the best.
What's not to like? So, Tina, you pulled up here, and before we get into what you have, because it sounds like that you have some adults in your life that are playing games that I thought we left back in high school.
Yes.
But we will get to that. I do want to address this because I promised it on the front end with CCAT here. You are, when it comes to cereal, a cereal first, milk second guy.
Opposite.
Oh.
Milk first. Oh.
Yeah, I've grown up and I've learned that there's a better way to do things than what society tells you to do. Because they demonize my kind left and right. They look down upon me because I pour the milk in and then the cereal afterwards. What I say to them is, I don't like my Cinnamon Toast Crunch soggy. Mm. And if you go milk first, it floats on top a lot longer. And the shelf life of non-soggy cereal is a lot longer that way.
See,
isn't that less cereal though?
A little bit. But I bring the bag with me.
That's what I was about
to
say.
I'm an adult.
The real...
You just keep refilling?
The real pet move here. It's been some years, actually, since I've eaten cereal. Like,
your opinion is null and void.
No, but I'm back at it, though. I just started back a few weeks ago when I started on 75 Hard, one of the things that I was permitted to eat is cereal.
Okay.
Because it's technically not sweets, right? And there's some stipulations, and also you get to pick your diet, and cereal's in there.
Yes.
So I started back to eating cereal, and... This is what I like to do. And you can steal this strategy, CCAT. I know you will. Tina, you know, just lock in and listen. I got y'all. This is the best cereal eating strategy. Don't fill the whole bowl up with cereal the first time. You fill up about half to three-fourths of your bowl with the cereal, right?
Okay.
Get it to that perfect level. And then you take the milk, and this is where the artist comes in you. You have to make sure you start on the outer edges, and you spray the milk around a little bit. You're going slow. You're not dousing it in milk because you don't want to drown the cereal and get it soggy. Like CCAT was saying, I hate soggy cereal.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it, but I do want a little bit of milk on the top of my cereal. I want a little bit of the milk dew drops almost on the top there to still have the residue. I love that. So you do that a little bit, and then you just hit a little bit over the top, and there's just enough milk at the bottom of the bowl at that point, which I'm getting the same result that you're getting by doing milk first. But also, the only reason why I don't like doing milk first, CCAT, which I've tried, is... Now I have to, I get into a measuring battle with myself, pouring the milk first and then the cereal on top of it, because then I don't know exactly what, you know, dimensions I need to be going with. Is there a measuring cup you're using?
It's not for the faint of heart, okay? Like, this isn't for everybody. This is for people that have really good kind of depth perception and how they measure their milk. It's not for everybody. It's for kind of the elite cereal enjoyers, and I'm one of them, so I do it that way.
We have a certified milkman right here.
Okay.
So, Tina... Gonna get him in trouble later. Tina, for you, with the cereal strategy, and then also, of course, the G move is always to bring the box with you so that once you're done with that first round of cereal, you still got some milk left over in there. You throw that cereal on top of it. You splash it a little bit with over the top of the milk. Perfect consistency. You get the full flavor profile of the cereal bites, and you don't end up with soggy cereal.
Wow.
Rock with me.
I'm totally different. So I am not, like, I love the artist of you eating cereal.
It's just me.
For me, I put the cereal in first. I am just, like, dumping the milk in, and I'm letting the cereal rise until it's at the top of my bowl. And then I kind of, like, mix all the cereal around in the milk because it's not soggy right away. And then I eat it
What
right
kind of
away.
Cereal are you going with right here? Paint the picture for me.
You're
going
to hate this. It's such an unpopular opinion. It's basically cardboard in cereal form. I love Life cereal. It is the most plain Jane cereal, but I love it.
What kind of Life?
Like, is there any flavor on your Life?
Brown sugar cinnamon is good Life.
Life?
It's original.
Oh, my. Yeah.
I know. It's an unpopular opinion, but I don't know why. Like, I just bought a box yesterday of Life cereal because I was craving some cereal.
You're looking for the wrong thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to get soggy original Life, you might as well just eat oatmeal. Like, that is what you were eating right now.
No, I don't like oatmeal.
Oh, my goodness.
I just like my overnight oats. That's it.
You do the overnight oats often here. You do that.
You see me with them all the time.
Yes, 100%.
I'm unpopular opinion of how I eat cereal and the cereal that I like to eat. I'm a Captain Crunch next.
Also,
I'm almost ashamed that we got into this now.
You start the segment that you're on a health kick. What cereal are you eating that it actually classifies as health kick?
Fruity
it's
Pebbles?
In the hard 75.
My favorite cereal
Fruity
of all
Pebbles.
Time is Captain Crunch Peanut Butter Crunch.
Okay.
And yes,
is that
a little sugary. Yeah.
That's a chocolate bar.
That's not chocolate. It's literally peanut butter.
That's ridiculous.
It's peanut butter.
You might as well be having a fully loaded like waffles and pancakes. That's better for you.
Don't talk to me, Mr. Pink Drink, every time you go to Starbucks.
Yeah, but I'm not the one trying to be healthy. That's ridiculous. Like, you should be disqualified. You should be having toast, butter.
I get to set my diet, all right? I get to set my
stipulations. That's your sweet treat.
It's my sweet treat. You're right. And I do have a hefty amount of that cereal. But it comes with also working out every day, which is what keeps me sane, keeps me in a rhythm. And Tina, you know something about working out every day because you work out more than anybody I know.
I do. I love it. And if I'm probably not here at ESPN West Palm, I'm at F45. Mm. F45 West Palm, F45 Palm Beach Gardens. Right now, actually, at the F45 Palm Beach Gardens studio, you could do $7 for 7 days. So give it a try. You can try a class, a cardio class, a strength class, see what you like. Both locations have some summer specials going on. Check out their Instagram page. But again, I love it. There's a trainer there that helps you if you need any modifications. You're surrounded by motivating people who are also there to push you. I have a partner who always is like, what are you doing? You can go heavier. And I need that. I love that. I love that someone's next to me pushing me. And again, you stick to it, you will see results. F45training.com. Or again, check out the Instagrams of F45 Palm Beach Gardens or F45 West Palm Beach.
Excellent. And I still will take you up on getting out there for an F45 workout. It will happen.
Yes.
And we will get it on camera.
Yes.
And we will put it on social media.
You and wifey are coming with me to an F45 class, and I promise I won't make you go to 5:15 a.m., which I like to do. We will go to an afternoon or a later morning class. But you, in this challenge, you and wifey, Ashley, are coming to an F45 class with me.
I'm absolutely locked in on that. I will make that part of my 75 days. It ends on September 11th.
But not before he has his Captain Crunch. Gotta have that first. That's his pregame.
Shut the hell up, CK. Goodness, you can't
peanut butter's protein.
It is. Peanut butter's protein.
That's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
I can't believe you.
And I use lactate milk.
I'm an almond milk.
I do that
too. I love almond milk.
It lasts longer in the fridge.
It does.
That's why I go lactose free. I feel kind of weird.
When you're done with your cereal bowl, do you end up wasting any milk though? Because you're drowning the cereal in milk.
I'm wasting so much milk.
See, that's come on. What are you doing?
But when I have like Cocoa Pebbles, I'll drink the milk because it's like chocolate milk.
Absolutely disgusting. I had gotten into a little bit of a, I don't want to call it trouble with her, but I almost got put in the doghouse. And my one go-to move every time I'm almost in the doghouse is to, you know, crack the fingers a little bit and say, hey, baby, you want a massage?
Oh.
Come on now. Come on now. And I worked my magic. Now, I'm not a professional. I'm not nice with it, but she definitely, I was forgiven. Everything is good in the Dorsey household. If you want to get a professional massage, though, Tina, there's only one place to go.
The only place goes Old Palm Beach. But again, maybe if you want to like make sure you're not in the doghouse for a while, maybe let some things slide for a little bit, you just need to send wifey, Ashley, to Old Palm Beach.
That would have been better.
That would have been better. And again, cut you some slack for a little bit. But Old Palm Beach is my favorite in South Florida. You want a staycation? Best place to go. It's a Forbes 5-star resort with a private beach, 2 oceanfront pools, spacious guest rooms, and if you got to bring the kiddos, there is a Reimagine Kids and Teens Club. The O Spa is also a 5-star spa that offers massages, facials, pedicures, and more. Hey, really get you out of the doghouse for a while if you get her a massage, maybe a pedicure as well.
Right.
Book your stay today. Florida residents do receive 15% off the best available rate now through October 31st. Visit eaupalmbeach.com. That's eaupalmbeach.com for more information and to book your reservations.
Oh, Palm Beach. Gotta love it. Just like we love the Tina appearances on a Thursday. Enjoy happy hour.
Thank you.
It's going to be a blast. That's C-Cat. That's Tina. I'm Theo Dorsey. On the other side, I mean, why are y'all wasting y'all money? And on Bronny James, we got to talk about it. Theoretically speaking, on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
We might have a cheating allegation here on Theoretically Speaking that will break to you. Plus, I will deliver the one thing that Bronny James is making people waste their money on, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. But first, Is joint pain affecting your quality of life? At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery as well as new, less invasive treatments with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. C-Cat. And I know this isn't coming out of your fandom as a Ravens fan, and I know this isn't coming out of hate. This is genuine concern. You have a cheating scandal on your sleeve here, and it's about a New York Jet?
Yeah, it certainly is. Sauce Gardner is cheating at golf. He is cheating at golf. He's been very public about him discovering the game of golf this summer, this offseason. His swing is pretty good, but he just picked up the game of golf this year.
Yes.
And I saw he just posted a front nine of 42. Yeah, 42, my ass. That's, no way.
And again, he is a professional athlete, so I'll leave room for him being excellent at things early, but golf is the one game that it seems like everybody struggles with for at least like a year and a half, 2 years. Like,
there's no chance he's not giving himself a couple of free drops, free mulligans, yeah. You know, not actually giving himself the penalty strokes that he should be. I'm calling BS on Sauce Gardner as an 18 handicap. Is that what you're telling me, Sauce? No way.
There's no way. And also, for a guy that holds as much as he does as a defensive back, that kind of bends the rules in the NFL and gets away with it, I'm on your side here. Sauce Gardner, we want to see that full round live streamed if you want to prove yourself to not be a guy that's out there cutting corners on the green. Let's take the good people home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me. Take you home with this. This is for you, Sauce Gardner. Integrity. Integrity still matters. Integrity is not what you do when other people can see you. It's what you do when there ain't nobody around to witness it. Sauce Gardner, be a man. Stand up to the plate and own up to the fact that you've been cheating us on your golf cart. C-Cat, you got anything?
Going to see Twisters tonight. I'm excited for it. 7:30 showtime.
Twisters. What's that? I mean, do we have time to talk about it? Is it
Twisters?
Playing like Twister?
The sequel to Twister.
Like a movie about hurricanes or tornadoes or
it hurt. We don't have enough time.
Go in love, go in peace, go in joy. Freddie and Harry is next on ESPN 106.3.